You're listening to a sermon from New Life Church in Guernsey. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message.
I am the door. The metaphor is not only simple, I think it is wonderfully commonplace. I think with all the great orators and theologians that we have today, you can hear many online. Some are very good. But there is the tendency with people, and I can obviously have to speak to myself because I'm standing here at the moment, that we do sometimes express these very deep, what we consider deep theories, huge understanding, long words, which people don't understand, and maybe I don't either. But we have these long words, and it's no. I'm sure these great theologians wouldn't appreciate the simplicity of a sermon. And yet, you know, our Lord himself didn't speak to win the applause of the Pharisees or the hierarchy or the great theologians. He spoke to win souls. The poor, the needy, as we call them, the sinner, to bring them into eternal life. And here we have bread, light, water, a door. I mean, if you, it's a long time since I had a son who was a baby, but with grandchildren and everything, and you open up an ABC book, and I'm sure many of you have seen, you know, the ones that are the solid cardboard so that when they eat it, it doesn't disintegrate completely. And you open up, and A is for apple. And you go to B, and you might, if it's, if it's for a little girl. Ah, be careful, David. You open it, it might have butterfly, but it might have bread. You open up and it goes to C, and I can't think of it. And it goes to D, and it might be daddy, or it could be door. But what I'm trying to say is that's the simplicity and the commonplace of all of this. A door is an object that we frequently come into contact to. When you leave, you will go through a door. Open it first and go through it. When you get home, you will open your door and go through it. You'll go to the fridge, you will open the door. When you go to the cupboards, you open the door. And you get what is inside. Doors are commonplace to us. We see them all the time. They meet our gaze everywhere. And it's almost with our Lord saying, I am the door. He is saying, I will meet you where you are. And my friends, when you open a door at home, it's like a mini sermon. It is the Lord speaking. I am the door. Just think as you open the door and you take out your can of soup, you've got the purpose. You've had access to the very thing that you are after. And so what I want to do today, this morning, is to try and speak very simply. It's no disrespect to you at all, but the Lord spoke simply. And I want to speak simply. And I want us to look at one thing this morning only. And that is the door itself. There are a lot of things in this portion. We've also got another metaphor, I am the good shepherd. And God willing, I'll share on that next week. But today, the door. And I want you to see firstly about the door, the necessity of the door. The necessity of it. Heaven's door. As we read Revelation, we see a description of the wondrous city, the New Jerusalem, and we have the details of it. Can you imagine if there was this wall and a window, and you could look through and you can see the wonders, you could see the feasting, you could hear the songs of the angels, you could hear the praise, you could see the wondrous streets, you could see the awesome buildings all prepared for you, but there was no door. It was just a window. No access to receive what is your heart's desire. Just a window, impenetrable, and a wall so high, unscalable. No door. How miserable would we be? How miserable would we be? You see, that wall is our sins. It is my sin that has separated me from God. And there was no way, because the wall, because of my sins, was so high, so extreme. It had almost walled me in and kept me out of the presence of God. The only way would be a door. And Jesus said, I am the door. He is the one through whom we draw near to God, because in him God has drawn near to us, because he is Emmanuel. There is a necessity of a door. But not only is there a necessity, there's a singularity of it. It's not plural, it's not doors, it's the door. Singular. I am the door. No other entrance. There is no other entrance. We hear, as Audrey read to us, those that try to get in another way are like thieves or robbers. No, there's one door. Just one. When I was at university and went to training college in Cheltenham, which was a PE college, the Cotswolds are wonderful. But in the Cotswolds, if any of you know, some of the stations, train stations, for those Guernsey people who don't know what a train is, no, not really. train station, sometimes they're very small, a single track, and the actual building is a single building. And this actually isn't a Cotswolds, but I couldn't find the one that I was looking for. But it proves the point. The illustration is this. The gentleman was waiting for a train. He had driven to the station, and actually the traffic wasn't as bad as he thought, and he had arrived at the station a bit early. And because it was such a small station, there was no waiting room, so he decided to wait in the car park in his car. And he was faced opposite the actual building itself of the station. And while he was sitting there, and he got out his book to read, he noticed there was a lady walking, pushing a pushchair with a little baby in the pushchair, and tagging on behind was a toddler, you know, dragged along. We know what that one's like. And she went up the slope and then through the door. And because it was so small, he could see her go onto the platform, and that she had tight hold of the little one's hand, sort of thing, and she was there waiting for her train. Just then, a rather large plush car arrived. A gentleman with a peaked cap got out, opened the back door, and out got a gentleman in a three-piece suit, looking very sartorially elegant, I have to say. And he had his briefcase with him, so that probably just tells you the age of the story. Nowadays, it's probably an iPad, isn't it, or something. But he had his briefcase with him, and he spoke to the driver, and the driver nodded and almost bowed sort of thing. And he went up the slope, and he went through the door, and he went and stood near where the woman was with the baby and the toddler. And whether there was a lot of noise, but he just moved slightly away from them. But he could, this other guy in the car could see them. And just then a bicycle arrives with somebody on it, which was clever. And they were all in Lycra and they had a rucksack on their back. And they parked their car and they actually padlocked their bike and they padlocked it. And then they went through the door and went onto the station platform. And the gentleman that was sitting in the car, who happened to be a local preacher in the Cheltenham area, he noticed that it didn't matter who it was, whether it was a woman with a baby and a little one, whether it was a very elegant gentleman, businessman, or whether it was a cyclist, it didn't matter who, if they wanted to get to their destination and get on that train, they had to go through that door. And there was only one access. It doesn't matter if any man, it says, if any man or woman or child enters, that access is there all the time. That is the wonder. There is only one door. And you could search, as people do, throughout this realm, throughout our universe, and you will never discover another door. Oh, there are many that appear to be doors. If you, back in the late 1600s, William II time in England, going through into the early 1700s, you will know that there was something called a window tax. And what people used to do is they used to paint windows on the walls of their houses. They would paint a window so it looked like a window. It looked as if they were quite wealthy because they would have to pay tax. But it also brightened up the house a little bit rather than having in Bath. As we go down Pulteney Street, on the right-hand side, there's a classic, there's a window painted on the side of this large wall to give the impression that it is real. I tell you, if you try and get through that window, you will have friction burns. I tell you, it's pretty solid going through a wall. It's not real. And there's only one door. There are many that look like doors, but there is just one. There is the singularity of it. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who said, I am the door. But there's one other thing that I would like to say about this door is the personality of the door. It's very personal. He says, I am. I am. I was brought up in a Christian home, but because I was brought up in a Christian home didn't make me a Christian. I had to come to the cross. I had to come to the Lord Jesus Christ myself, and he personally had to deal with me. I had to look upon him on that tree. I had to see that blood that was shed for me. I had to recognize my helplessness and my hopelessness without him. I had to realize who I was truly, and that was a sinner, but because of him, saved by grace. It was personal. I had to go to him. It is Christ himself. It is Christ alone. He is the incarnate God. He is that substitutionary sacrifice who rose again from the dead for our justification, who ascended up to the majesty on high, who pleads even this time for me and for you before the Father's throne of grace. He is the door. He is the access. He is the way for us. We cannot do this on our own. And the final thing that I want to share with you this morning is the suitability of the door. Is the suitability of the door. You can look at any door, and there are two sides to it. Two sides to every door. And there are two sides to Christ. You see, from our side of the door, we see the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that tenderness, we see that grace, we see that wonder, we see that love. Suffer the children to come unto me, the one who would put his arms. He is the one who welcomes. We see the humanity, the manhood of Christ. What's on the other side? What's on God's side of the door? Well, there, of course, we see the splendor of the Godhead, don't we? That's what's there, the splendor of the Godhead. And we can only come to the Father through him whose name is Emmanuel, God with us, the one who is the door. Yes, we see humanity one side, we see the splendor, that's the other side, but just remember what's between, what's above the door, between the humanity and the splendor. What is above the door? It is the sprinkled blood of the Lamb. It is the sprinkled blood of the true Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. The door is Christ Jesus, the one who hung on Calvary's tree for you and for me. And just in a remarkable way, as that time in Egypt, when the blood of the Lamb was put over the lintel of the door, and when the angel of death saw it, he passed over. So here, even as we come around the table, we see in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has done it all for us. He did it all for you and for me. Each drop of blood he shed for even me, when the Savior cried, bowed his head and died. Oh, praise the Lord. He did it all for me and for you. That's the wonder of the simplistic door, which has eternal consequences. There's no combination lock on this door. It is an open door. It is an available door. It is a door in the Lord Jesus Christ who meets us now and meets us today and welcomes us with arms open as we look upon him, our risen Savior. Surely we as a people can sing, as we are going to now, in the chorus, thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son, because we have such a wonderful gift. I pray that all of us this morning will have our hearts inclined to walk to the door and walk through the door, and know we have access. We are accepted. We are forgiven by our loving Father, so that one day we can be forever with the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to find out more about our church or would like us to pray for you, we'd love for you to get in contact with us via our website. And if you're in Guernsey and you don't already belong to a church, you're really welcome to join us this Sunday at New Life Church.